Thank you so much for inviting me. I really appreciate that. I will start with an acknowledgement of the triune God, the eternal Father, eternal Son, and eternal Holy Spirit. Shalom, Sanatan Shri Pita Putra Pavitratmane Namaha. Sanatan Shri Pita Parameshwaraya Namaha. Sanatan Shri Yeshavabhishektaya Namaha. Sanatan Shri Pavitratmane Namaha. Sanatan Shri Triyek Parameshwaraya Namaha. Sanatan Shri Pita Putra Pavitratmane Namaha. Shalom. I was just chanting Eternal Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all glory to you. My name is Anil Ishudas, and my wife and children could not come today. I serve the Lord among the Indian Hindu peoples in the Chicago area. We call it working among the diaspora Hindus. I grew up in India, in central India. We are from the south part of India, but my parents were born and raised in North India. My parents were brethren evangelists all their life. More than 50 years they served in central India. My mom's dad was also a brethren evangelist, and he served over 50 years in central India. My great-grandfather, that was the British Raj during that time. And many of the people thought that only the white man can be the missionary. So my great-grandfather used to just help the church leader that was there in the local area in Kerala. He could never find out a way to serve the Lord in any more than that manner. But God has been faithful, and I focus my work among the Indian Hindu people. The beauty of the biblical faith is that it can be practiced in multiple different cultural contexts. That is the beauty of the biblical faith. One of the reasons that Christianity is the largest religion in this planet Earth. There are a lot of Hindus. Muslims are also there. Buddhists, Jains, Sikhs, a lot of religions are there. But if you want to count all of them and say, what is the largest following, like which religion has the largest following, you'll find that Christianity has the largest following. And one of the reasons is that the biblical faith allows to express in multiple different formats. If we would have narrowed ourselves to say that this is the only way we should express our faith, we would probably be a microscopic minority. But I'm glad that God allows us to express our faith in multiple different cultural formats. I want to tell a story. This story is about Lord Shri Jesus. Sometimes you will hear the word Shri when I'm saying that. Shri is a title of respect. Suppose Mike Thompson G comes to our place and I'm trying to introduce him. I will not say, "This is Mike." You know, this is to the Indian Hindu people, that is so disrespectful to just say, I call him Mike. He looks a little older than me also. He probably is older than me. We would not take anybody's name, first name, and just the name. We will say Shri Mike G. G is a suffix in the end. So you will hear the word Shri. Shri means it's a title of respect to Lord Jesus. This is a story about Lord Shri Jesus. He had come back to the town that he lived for a while, Capernaum. Lord Shri Jesus had an address there. Probably, I think it was a small place. I imagine Lord Sri Jesus to be living in an SRO, single room occupancy, you know, one room. I think that in the corner was probably some utensil related to water. Probably in another corner was some utensils related to cooking food. In another corner, probably there were some scrolls that were there. And then some people will come and meet Lord Sri Jesus over there. But he has now come back. He is an itinerant preacher. He has got disciples with him, 12 disciples with him. He is becoming very popular. A lot of people want to hear Lord Sri Jesus. And wherever Lord Sri Jesus goes, people flock. They have heard that, you know, he has some miraculous powers. And it's amazing. And his teaching is so powerful. And he gives messages which is very different from the messages that we hear in the synagogue. And when we go to the Jerusalem temple, you know, there are a lot of other scholars, Jewish scholars are there. But this rabbi is very different. He's a young guy, you know, in his early 30s. Lot of people have flocked. At that time, a man comes to Lord Sri Jesus. He is a synagogue leader. He's the leader of synagogue. Probably he knew Lord Sri Jesus before. Lord Sri Jesus used to go and visit synagogues. So probably he knew, oh, this is Jairus. Other people also said, yeah, you know him, Jairus. Yeah, he's a synagogue leader. But this time when Jairus was coming to Lord Sri Jesus, he was very tensed. He looked sad and he had some anxiety in his face. He had this sense of being in a hurry. He was not even sure whether he should be there or not. You know, his only daughter, 12-year-old only daughter, was very sick. He had tried everything. He had gone to all the doctors in town. He had spent some money hoping that something will come out of it. Nothing had come out of that. And his daughter was dying. And he was torn, like, should I go and meet this guru, this rabbi, Jesus, who does miracles and he had amazing teachings. Probably Lord Sri Jesus has spoken in his synagogue. Should I just stay next to my daughter? Because anyway, all the doctors who are very well educated and have a very objective opinion on what is happening have said that she is not going to live. She's going to die. She can die at any time. Maybe I should be at home. I want to hear whether she will say something to me. In her last breath, maybe she will say, will she say daddy maybe towards the end of her life, just before she dies? I would rather want to hear that. You know, I hope she lives. I hope she lives. But there is only one hope for me. I've tried everything. I am going to ask Lord Sri Jesus to come to my home. It's actually very late. And there is a possibility that things may go bad over there and I might miss something that I might regret for the rest of my life. I do not know. So you could see the tension in the face and the appearance of Jairus. And his tension grew because there were so many people. Oh my goodness. Everybody wants to listen to Lord Sri Jesus. It looks like there is a conversation going on to take him out, to pull him out of this big crowd of people, because nobody wants to. Like, I don't want this big crowd to come to my home. You know, that is not possible. And then I want to disrupt this meeting that is going on. And then I'm asking Lord Sri Jesus to just leave these people and then come to my home. in the middle of some great teaching that is going on, he falls at the feet of Lord Sri Jesus. He kneels down. He's a Jewish man, kneeling down in front of a rabbi, acknowledging that you have some greatness that I have not found in other people that I know. He himself is a leader. He's the leader of the synagogue. He is on his knees in front of Lord Sri Jesus. He says, Lord Sri Jesus, my daughter, my only daughter is dying. Would you please come to my home? Lord Sri Jesus looks at him. Lord Sri Jesus looks at his disciples like, yeah, I think it's a good idea to go. Other people who are there are like, oh, you're going to cut short your message now. We had great hopes that you will continue to speak to us. You have got a great message. But it seems like Lord Sri Jesus is going to go. So as Lord Sri Jesus is going and walking, people want to continue. I have got one more question. Lord Sri Jesus, there was one thing about, you know, and everybody wants to ask him something. Everybody wants to talk to him. Like you remember last time you were telling this, and I had this doubt that why did you say like that? Because in our synagogue they were little, they had a different opinion on. So this conversation is going on, people are pressing against him, he's trying to walk, and Jairus is like, oh my goodness, these questions can wait. My daughter is dying. My daughter is dying. These questions can probably wait. And then, as they are moving along very slowly, people are not letting Lord Sri Jesus to walk even in a normal manner of pace where it can be fast enough to go to the house. Lord Sri Jesus stops. And Lord Sri Jesus is looking around. Lord Sri Jesus said, who touched me? Disciples said, well, what's that question? Who touched me? Everybody is falling on you. We are trying our best. We are trying. You know, we are trying our best so that you will be comfortable. Nobody will going to push you or elbow you. And we are trying our best. And then you're asking, like, who touched you? People are falling on you. We are trying that you will not stumble and fall. You know, we're doing our job nicely. And you're saying, who touched you? Is that a question? And Jairus is like, you know, why are you stopping? Continue to walk, 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 walk. You know, my daughter is dying. No, somebody touched me. Somebody touched me. Because power has gone out of me. Disciples say, well, power went out of you. Somebody touched you. I don't know. Everybody is touching you, actually. Everybody is touching you. So whom do you want to? And then they see this lady. I do not know how old that lady was. She could be an older lady. She could be a younger lady. We do not know. She was trembling. She was very nervous. And she comes towards Lord Sri Jesus. She was in the crowd, very close by. And Lord Sri Jesus looks at her. Lord Sri Jesus wanted her to say something. It's not that Lord Sri Jesus did not know. Lord Sri Jesus many times asked questions. I have a lot of questions. I have a lot of questions. I ask questions because I don't know. You know, there are a lot of things that I don't know. So I ask questions. I don't know, sir. This question mark, I don't know. Somebody will give me an answer. Somewhere, somehow, I'll find an answer. Lord Sri Jesus, whenever he is asking a question, he is not asking a question because, I don't know. That's not who Lord Sri Jesus is. Lord Sri Jesus asks a question because he is wanting us to elicit a response because we are too quiet. So Lord Sri Jesus wants her to say what happened instead of Lord Sri Jesus making a statement. Lord Sri Jesus asked, who touched me? So that this lady could come forward. She was trembling. She was very nervous. She was not so nervous about Lord Sri Jesus. She was nervous about these people who were there, these Jewish men. And some of them looked very scholarly and religious, and they had all the things on them that made them look like maybe he is some kind of a religious person. What will they say? How will they look at me? I was like elbowing them, and I was pushing them, and I was trying to squeeze in between all these men to come to Lord Shri Jesus. And I touched several of these men before I could get to Lord Shri Jesus. He was nervous about these people, you know, long beard, maybe scary looking people. She said, Lord Shri Jesus, I touched you. It was just the corner. It was like, you know, your clothes. It was just the end of it. Only that much I touched. Because, you know, for 12 years, I have got this pain in my stomach. And I have got this problem that women have. And it doesn't go away. It's there. It's all of the time. I cannot do anything. I have spent a lot of money. And I don't even have money to spend anymore. I'm always in pain. And I cannot do anything. Because these religious leaders, and what I have heard is that I am impure. I am impure. I cannot do anything. I cannot go to the synagogue. I cannot do any religious work. I cannot do anything of importance. If there is something going on in the family, I cannot do that because I am considered to be impure. So it has been very difficult 12 years. But as soon as I touched the corner, the hem of your garment, I knew that I was healed. You know the pain that I had, the constant pain that I had for 12 years? It was gone. I know that problem is passing. And I'm so thankful to you. Probably the religious leaders and the people, I kind of saw her pushing me to get it. I recognized. I was thinking, why is this lady coming so close to me? My goodness, she was impure, you know. And I hope she did not make me impure by touching me, you know. But they were little. Jairus was very like, oh my goodness, all this conversation can happen at some other time. My daughter is dying. And this man, I love this man. I want this man to come to my home. I have seen him heal people and before she dies, you know, something can be done before it is too late. Some people, Jairus' friends, some distant relatives, they are coming very fast towards Jairus. They knew. They must have asked Jairus' wife, where did your husband go at this time? Oh, he went to see, you know, synagogue, that guy had come. Jesus, he went to meet with him. This time, why? They come to him and they are whispering to him something. They're saying, you know, the thing is that life is short. Life is in the hands of God. We can do our best, you know. We have tried our best. You did everything right, you know. You're still trying. We appreciate you so much. But I think that now we have to be busy with other arrangements, you know. Funeral arrangements will have to be made. And you have to call your relatives and friends. And you have to decide on which date you will have to do, who to come. Lot of people will come. You are a synagogue leader also, so many people know you, you know. So probably it will be a big, we are very sorry for your loss. You're a very good father. And probably Jairus broke down, you know. Do you remember any occasion when you heard some of your relative who passed away? I grew up in a family of five. My father, my mother, my older brother, my younger brother. You know, in our home, we were five. Now, out of the five, three of them are living upstairs. You know, they have gone up to be with the Lord. We are less here and more over there right now in our family. I remember the phone calls. I remember the phone calls when my brother, when my mom, when my dad passed away, you know. I remember my brother called me, and we talk in Hindi to each other. And it will be a very small voice. And you already know it. You are waiting for the phone call. Right now I put the phone down, but usually the phone is all up. Even if some meeting is going on, anything is going on, the phone is always up. Because you know that there might be this call because mom is not doing well. She might just pass away. And then he will call my brother, and he will call Yar. Yar means friend. It's like buddy, you know. Yar, mummy chali gayi. Buddy. Friend, mummy has gone. And I remember those moments. And I try to compose myself. And then I will text a few people. And then somebody will come to comfort me. You know, within a few minutes, somebody will know that, oh, this thing has happened, and they will say, oh, I'm just around the corner. Where are you? Are you at the Monday? Yes, yeah, I'm at the Monday. You can come. I'm texting a few people. I'm busy, but you can come and sit down. And then I will try to say something, but when I say it, the words will not come out because I will choke and I will cry. I think Jerry has had a hard time to say something. Lord Sri Jesus knew that, okay, I know. This was the second time that Jairus kneels. Probably this time he probably fell. It was not just like the previous kneeling where he was doing an active act of giving honor to Lord Sri Jesus. I think this time his legs just gave way. He fell down, and people were holding him. This time he said, Lord Sri Jesus, the girl has died. My daughter has died. And Lord Sri Jesus says, just believe. Just believe and your daughter will be okay. And this time Lord Sri Jesus looks at his disciples. He has 12 disciples. Lot of people are there. Religious leaders are there. This time, Lord Sri Jesus says, Peter, James, John, three of you can come with me. You know, we'll have to walk fast. The guy is very distressed, you know, very distressed. The relatives are very distressed. And this crowd is not going to let us walk fast. So the crowd, you can stay, and other disciples, you take care of the crowds. Any questions that you have, just talk to them, and we are going ahead. So Lord Sri Jesus with Peter, James, and John, and Jairus, and some of the relatives and friends, now they are walking very fast. They're walking very fast towards the house of Jairus. When they come near the house of Jairus, they could hear the crying that is coming from the house, probably wailing. And Jairus' wife probably was completely uncontrollable, you know, because it is one thing to lose somebody who is older than you, but it is completely different scenario when you lose somebody who is younger than you. You know, the children bury their parents. The parents don't want to do that, you know, they don't want to do that. And Lord Sri Jesus comes, and Lord Sri Jesus says, why is this commotion? Take everybody out. take everybody out. You don't have to cry like this, wailing so loudly. She's not dead. She's just asleep. I wish you know you are such a good teacher. We have seen you in the synagogue, and you speak very good. But this seems a little harsh. You know, you can probably come up with some better statement to make when somebody has died. You know, there are words of comfort that you can give, and you should know better because you look like a very well-read, scholarly person. The way you interpret everything looks so amazing. It sounds so amazing, but I think you have to work on your like, you know, when somebody dies, to comfort them. I think sometimes the best thing is not to say anything. It would have been better that you don't say anything, Jesus. You know, instead of saying that she's just asleep, you know, yeah. If she was asleep, crying so loudly, she would have woken up by now, you know. It's not. Lord Sri Jesus says to Jared, like, get these people out of this room. Get them out of this room. Only you, your wife, and Peter, James, John, you can come. You can come. Everybody out, everybody. Everybody goes out. They are like, this guy is something, you know. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He thinks that he's something. I had heard from other scholars also that they have a difference of opinion on him. Sure, look at his attitude. Look at what he's saying. Doesn't look like he knows what he's doing. What does he think of himself? Yeah, if she was not dead, it was fine. Yeah. If she was alive, I've seen him heal other people. I can give him that. He's dead. We have to do all the funeral arrangements and starting like that. Lord Sri Jesus goes, this girl is dead. She's 12 years old. Lord Sri Jesus holds her hand. You know, in India, they try to do some miracles. I've seen that, huh? Indian gurus and Indian religious people, they have got a lot of complicated words, you know? They will recite something very complicated and this and that. They will say that if you are bit by a snake, we can neutralize this snake poison, and very complicated Sanskrit chantings they will do. They will do a lot of maneuvers, and they will do a lot of rituals, and they will say, put this here and put that there and burn that incense there and put some lemon here and do this thing and do that thing. Lord Sri Jesus doesn't do nothing of that. Nothing of that. Like, in a normal way, he goes and touches the hand of the girl and says, little girl, get up. Normal words. Very basic, normal words. But Sri Jesus has the power. And this girl opens the eyes. She starts moving. Probably Peter, James, John, Jairus, his wife, you know, the emotions that might have come into their minds to see a dead person, you know. Just a few weeks ago, maybe 2-3 weeks ago, 31st of July, I was in Washington, D.C. I was doing a cremation. They called me because they wanted to do the cremation in a cultural banner that was Hindu but content biblical, 31st of July. And then they flew me to Colorado Springs because my friend Sumit, his mom died, and half of his family is Hindu, half of his family is Christian. He said that, you know, Anil, can you come? We want a cremation that is culturally Hindu, but we are followers of Lord Jesus. We want it biblical. And then I came back again the same week. This was a Monday and a Tuesday, and on a Saturday, one of the persons in our small group, a Hindu man, he passed away, who had come for our devotion for about 15 years. And we do not know, you know, if he is coming to the devotion, he had something to do with Lord Sri Jesus, but not in the sense that we could make an elder out of him, not that kind of a person. But his family, who is completely Hindu, said to us that we would want to do a memorial service at your place. Because he always came here. You guys all knew him. So yeah, we have got our temple things, but you should do a memorial service here. So I came. So in 1 week, I was part of three, you know, memorial service at cremation here, cremation there. And I looked at the dead body of the persons, you know. One was an uncle we call uncle. In India, everybody is an uncle. So I was looking at that uncle, Kamlesh uncle there, you know. Yeah. This is how he looked like. He was a good-looking guy. And that auntie in Colorado Springs. But you know, I knew she's not going to wake up. This is how it will be. Within a few minutes, we are going to take her. And there is a chamber. It has got about 3,000 degree temperature. We are going to push her in. And people will cry. I knew that. But Lord Shri Jesus, he takes the hand of this little girl, and this little girl wakes up, and Jairus and his wife and Peter, James, and John saw this little girl get up. And then Lord Shri Jesus says, give her something to eat. Give her something to eat. You know, we have a tendency, and Jewish people had it more. Indian Hindus also have a lot. I think they learned it from the Jewish people. To decide what is pure and what is impure. But you know, the incarnation of Lord Shri Jesus, God becoming man and dwelling among us. And right now we have the permanent dwelling of Holy Spirit, God Himself with us. That has changed the point of view on purity and pollution, holiness and things that are unholy. You know, like in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning is time. God is our reference point. God created the actions that He is doing. The heavens, which is space, we need time, we need space, and earth, this is matter, and there is people, and I have this body. So Jewish people had all these criteria for purity and pollution when it comes to time and space and matter, things and people and body. That all these ideas that, oh, there is certain time of the year that are holy days. Those are our festivals. And you know, the Sabbath is very holy. You can do this other days, but on Sabbath you have to do like this. This is a holy day. They had this idea of holiness about space. Like our land, our country is holy land. Our people also say that. I'm going to holy land when they go to Israel. They're not holy land. Our land is holy land. And then Jerusalem is more holier than that. Have you gone to Jerusalem? And then if you go to a synagogue, that is even more holier than just city of Jerusalem. And then if you go to the temple area, that is even more holier. And in the temple, there is this holy place where the priests are there, and the holiest of holies are there. Then all these ideas of these are the boundaries. This is how you go from holy to more holy and holier than holy. They had these ideas about matter, that 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 is a dead animal, don't touch that, you will, that's impure, you will get impure. All these ideas they had about people, that, oh, people of Israel are the holy people of God, these are the Samaritans and these are the Gentiles. They had all these ideas about the body, especially the body orifices and the fluids that come out of it. Lord Jesus used to flout it like anything. He will spit, he will make a paste, and anything coming out of your mouth, your spittle, is dirty, it's impure. What are you doing? Are you touching that? Oh, what is that? And then you're not only that, you're taking and putting it into the mouth of that person who is mute, and then you're touching his tongue and all the spittle that is there, it will make you impure. What are you doing? And anybody who has got any disease or anybody who has got a major defect in the body, oh, that is impure. Why would Lord Shri Jesus touch? Lord Shri Jesus would do that. Lord Shri Jesus told us about He is the Christ, Son of the living God. We know the full identity of who Lord Shri Jesus, not in the holiest of holies that was in the Jerusalem temple, but in a pagan place, Tyre and Sidon, where all these pagan people were living and all these idols were there around that area, which was like an impure space, Lord Shri Jesus declares who He is. Like, oh, this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father. So the reference point is Lord Shri Jesus. God is a holy God. Be ye holy as I am holy. Lord Shri Jesus says, don't look at anybody and say that person is not holy. Don't do that. Because I am present here. My presence decides what is holy and what is not holy. And because I have incarnated, I am present, I am the Redeemer, I have done everything to remove your impurity, including your sins. Now you are holy. Don't call anything impure, which I am calling pure. So our reference point is God Himself, Lord Shri Jesus Himself. That is why followers of Lord Shri Jesus have a different point of view than these Jewish people and the Hindus that have got all these ideas about what is pure and what is impure. When you encounter the person and work of Lord Shri Jesus, you are completely changed and your point of view of purity and pollution changes. We'll continue to think about this topic. It's a topic that we can still continue to muse on, but I will close with a word of prayer. Eternal Father, Eternal Son, Lord Shri Jesus, Eternal Holy Spirit, Eternal Triune God, we come at your feet. Lord Shri Jesus, we were impure. We were unholy. We had walked away from you. But Lord Shri Jesus, we are so thankful that you came on this earth. You did all the work of salvation for us. We do not have to do anything. We just have to come under your shelter. And because of your presence, Triune God, we can be holy. And in another sense, you have set us apart to do your will. You have sanctified us. We want to serve you. We want to serve you in better ways. Please help us. And we give you thanks for redeeming us and giving us eternal life. We ask this, Lord Shri Jesus, in your precious name, Tathasta.